The following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. Well, we have the general rifle hunting season winding down this Sunday. How'd you do so far? Maybe you're a little bit worried about this weekend. Nonetheless, we're going to talk about that. Want to find out what you saw out there as far as getting an update, hunting harvest, maybe talk about drones and walleyes. I know, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has something cooking for us. We'll talk about that a bit later on with Bob Gibson. And then also we're going to set up that conversation by talking first about ways Montana sportsmen and sportswomen are working with landowners to preserve their hunting culture. Something called One Montana. That up today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Turkey Schultz.
Oh.
Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your reminder to go shopping. It's Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much, Josh. And and at times, I am very much a turkey. I would certainly admit that.
Hey, everybody's got a little turkey in them, especially after tomorrow.
I like that. Everybody's got a little turkey in them. I know that to be a fact. Hey, thank you guys for being here. We want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving time. I hope you're spending some time with family. I know that's important. I know a lot of family members have decided to kind of be in small groups this year. And, I know that that's okay, too, because if we're all concerned about staying safe through this virus, do the measures that give you confidence that you're going to be safe through this holiday and with this pandemic kind of over us. We'll talk about that in more detail on Friday. Dr. Marshall Bloom's going to be with us, and he is a virologist with the National Institutes of Health lab in Hamilton, the Rocky Mountain Laboratory. I think you're probably well familiar with that. We've had Dr. Bloom on here before. We're going to trace this journey to knowledge about the virus. And then Dr. Greg Holtzman will join us after that. Now, I had mentioned yesterday that he was going to be on the air today, but he had something come up, so he's able to be available on Friday. So we'll have Dr. Marshall Bloom on Friday, and then Dr. Greg Holtzman, who is the state's medical examiner and on the governor's coronavirus task force, will talk about the strain that we're under right now, hospitals in particular, and a number of them. Specifically have been hit real hard, the Billings area, Yellowstone County, Flathead County. There's help on the way. We'll kind of go through that, get the current update. That'll be on Friday. But today, let me, as I mentioned a bit later on, Bob Gibson will be with us. He's with the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We'll talk a little bit about this hunting season and kind of get maybe your thoughts on it too. I was looking at their website and they do a big game hunting forecast early in September. And it covers every area of Montana, southwest Montana, northeastern Montana, north central Montana. I'm just curious as to how things have gone out there on the in the field, and also get an update on chronic wasting disease. You know, we'd noted here in a program, this was in March or maybe it was February, how FWP is concerned about specific areas. The High Line is one. The Libby area is another. You've got some around the border of Wyoming as well. And in 2018, the FWP tested almost 2,000 samples for chronic wasting disease. They upped that number to near 7,000 in 2019, and about 60% of those were conducted in the priority area. So we'll get an update on that here a bit later on. First, let me welcome, with our thanks, Executive Director of One Montana. We'll talk about what this organization does and what it is, but first let's welcome Sarah Tilt, the Executive Director. Good morning, Sarah. How's it going?
Good morning, and thank you. It's a privilege to be talking with you.
Thank you for being here. I got notified of some of the things that you guys are doing and impressed with something called the Master Hunters Program, and we'll have Everett Headley on a bit later on, who's running that program. But first, talk about One Montana. For me, it seems to be a rather unique but necessary kind of thinking, I guess, to help Montana move forward and still retain our principles.
Yes, That's an accurate statement. We are a nonprofit that works to really promote Montana's culture and uniqueness by connecting our urban and rural communities. We do a lot of work with landowners across the state and trying to really look at issues that are addressing growth and some of the changes that we're seeing on our landscape. As you know, recently we've had we are seeing incredible growth. We're seeing incredible usage, and we look at different projects that try to address those issues. So, good example might be where we are working with landowners to educate them and work with them to address succession when they don't have family members who want to stay on the property. And that does two things. It brings new young ag leaders into our communities, and it also helps keep our landscaping working landscapes.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to unpack. I guess we use that word a lot, but I want to get into that a little bit. And since you brought it up, let's go ahead and talk about succession as one of the things that, that you guys help with. As you noted, we're seeing – we used to have a lot of people helping on smaller farms. Nowadays, and maybe that – maybe you go back 50 years for that statement to be true, relatively true. The transition has been to fewer people working on larger farms, and then we worry about what happens – to the fewer people and the larger farm in succession. So talk about some of those things that you're trying to tackle, some of the challenges that, in fact, you are helping with when it comes to successfully succeeding working land in Montana.
Well, and I think, you know, you're exactly right. The landscape has changed, and one of the things that is happening is we have many communities that are growing. We also, and most of those tend to be urban, although we do have some rural communities that are continuing to grow. We have an aging population, and that's, you know, we're expected, I think, by 2030 to be mostly over 65. And we have a lot of our young people who are deciding they want to go elsewhere for careers. Some of that has changed with the pandemic, and I think, you know, so some of these statistics may not be as accurate right now. And what we look at is, how do we preserve the culture and quality of life in Montana today? And so when we look at that, what does that mean? We all came here for many of us, either whether we grew up here or moved here. We came here for different reasons, and a lot of it boils down to quality of life and being in open space and being able to, be part of a community. And as we start to lose that, One Montana is really looking at, well, how do we address that? And we're doing that in a couple of different ways. First, as I mentioned, we've just launched something called the Landowner Education and Resources Network, which is an effort to work with traditional landowners and providing tools and resources to help them with succession by either hiring emerging leaders, expanding operations, or starting new enterprises, but also allowing those lands to be left as working lands as a farm or a ranch, which is, I mean, I don't know if you know the quote by John Steinbeck that reads, "I'm in love with Montana. For other states, I have admiration, respect, recognition, even some affection, but with Montana, it's love." And I think that speaks to what we're trying to do at One Montana.
One Montana Executive Director Sarah Tilt is with us. It's One Montana, all spelled out, .org for information there. On some of these programs, and there are a number of things that you have titled as programs, and then you break that down into ways that you are trying to make differences in these programs. You talked about LEARN, the Landowner Education Resource Network. I'm also, one of the things that a lot of people have been hit with this year is, and you guys have it as a project for One Montana, is meat processing. And that is also a dynamic and changing landscape.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And that's really when COVID hit, we all saw the effects of the big processing facilities closing. And it's really sent shockwaves through our food supply system and exposed a variety of threats. And it also allowed us the opportunity to step back and really ask our stakeholders, really the landowners that we work with, how can we help them? And so we started working mostly right now. The projects we're trying to move forward are in Gallatin and Park counties, but we are gathering resources and working with different efforts across the state, including on the in the Blackfoot and some and over in Whitehall. I mean, there's a number of different wonderful cooperative projects happening across the state. But really, how do we do that on a local level as well? And so working at these different levels to come up with creative and long-lasting solutions so that also when COVID ends that these solutions will still be viable in those communities.
Any progress in that end? I know that the government had some money available for expansion of current meat processing plants. Are there new shops going up? I mean, are we going to be able to, we found out this year, our chain, our supply chain, we need to rethink certain things regarding that. Meat processing is one of them. What do we see on the ground that's going to make a difference for 2021?
Well, there are a number of new businesses and opportunities that have come up. We've been hosting a working group, many and several of them have received some of those grants. So you're seeing new cold storage facilities we've seen several come up in Park County. There are a number of the small processors who have received grants and are expanding. We now see mobile slaughter units. And there's sort of what's happening is bringing all of these pieces together and connecting them, we're able to get processing done. If that makes sense. We have on our website a good list of resources that we're continuing to add to on a consistent basis.
Let me ask, we're going to turn to your Master Hunters program here next as Everett Headley, who heads that program, will join us in just a little bit. Sarah Tilt with us, Executive Director of One Montana. We're being Montanans, dealing with an influx of growth in a lot of areas, some bursting at the seams, and I think we're worried subconsciously about our culture and our cultural values being able to be maintained through this, as we have seen, intense focus, people coming to Montana because of the pandemic. What are you guys doing to help us maintain our culture through this?
Well, we are also wrestling with that difficult challenge.
Yeah.
And we've launched something called the Montana Way, which is an education. It's really an education program to help not only Montana residents welcome newcomers, but also assist those newcomers in learning how to integrate into their new communities in a better way. That's the shorthand version of it. And we'll be sharing stories and start some storytelling and some videos and really everything ranging from talking about five-generation ranchers to tribal community members to new people who are coming to Montana to try and inspire that empathy and excitement to live, work, recreate, live here, and really understand where people are moving to so that when you move here, you have a better understanding of your community and what actions you do and how those are influenced your neighbors, but also so that we can also start to welcome people in a better way.
Sarah Tilt, Executive Director of One Montana, nearly 30 years as a fundraising professional, has worked with Trout Unlimited, the Nature Conservancy, National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and others. We'll be talking next about landowner and hunter cooperative relationships here on Voices of Montana. Robert Gibson, Bob Gibson with the FWP, is going to join us a bit later on. We'll get an update on the hunting harvest around the state of Montana, also chronic wasting disease. I know they've had check stations. They're encouraging a lot of volunteer sampling. Let's find out where that disease is at. We've seen from last year, you go back to 2017, actually, when it was kind of first discovered, it has spread to various areas, but it's concentrated along the High Line in northeastern Montana, the Libby area, noted for an outbreak there, Carter County and the southern portion of Montana near Wyoming have been concerned areas for chronic wasting disease. So we'll get that update here in just a little bit. I'm Tom Schultz. Thanks again for joining us here today on Voices of Montana. Here's a quote from Pippin Wallace, a 2020 Master Hunter graduate. And we'll talk about what the Master Hunter program is here in just a bit with Everett Headley, who will join us from One Montana, along with Sarah Tilt, who's the executive director. I learned more about ranching in a day from the Frenches than 30 years living in Montana. I mean, I don't need to really read the next two sentences here. That tells you an awful lot. I'll continue. They gave me a deep appreciation for their role as stewards of the land and its challenges. They shared a vision where the betterment of the land is the long goal, and their cattle are just one of their tools used to achieve this. I honestly don't know how this sharing of experiences could be possible outside of One Montana, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful for it. Let's welcome back Sarah. Sarah, I want to have you, and Everett is with us as well. Everett Headley, Program Manager, Lead Instructor for Montana Master Hunter, the Master Hunter Program. Good morning, Everett. How's it going?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Did you bag your animals yet, or are you going to wait till that very last? You're going to wait till like about 4 o'clock on Sunday, November 29th to take that shot?
Yeah, my season actually ended about a week ago over in eastern Montana.
Okay.
So I've got nothing to complain about right now.
Okay, good, good. Hey, Sarah, why don't you introduce Everett and tell us about this master class program and the success of it.
Well, Everett is our lead instructor and program manager for the Master Hunter program, which is a rigorous program that is designed to educate a more ethical and effective hunter who can work with landowners and help them with their wildlife management goals. The program really works to build trust and working relationships between landowners and sportsmen. It helps the state of Montana with their wildlife management goals, and it creates ambassadors for the mentors for the sport of hunting. We have 165 graduates so far, and we've initiated the program in 2018, so we're about to go into our fourth year. And I'll let Everett talk a little bit more about the details. But
Everett, thank you, Sarah. Everett, it must wrap it up in a nutshell for you, this statement from Pippin Wallace, one of your graduates. I learned more about ranching in a day from the Frenches than 30 years living in Montana. Does that summarize a successful graduate class?
Well, I definitely think so, Tom. You know, one of the things that we have in Montana is a rapidly changing landscape. And even with me growing up here, ranches that I used to hunt myself, have now either been sold off or subdivided, and that connection I used to have isn't there anymore. And so I think a lot of hunters are facing this same kind of situation where they just don't know who to talk to or even how to talk to landowners. And I think by and large in Montana, landowners are really receptive to hunting and having hunters come on. But a lot of perceptions have kind of muddied the waters a little bit. And so what we're able to do is really give landowners a platform and sportsmen an opportunity to talk with each other and really understand what is the big picture for both sides and how can both sides work together to achieve a better stewardship of the land and the resources.
Is this influx of growth threatening our cultural values? I don't want to say that in a negative way. I want to address the impact of it as we talk about ranches being sold off to people maybe who are not working the land. What do you see out there?
Well, I think a lot of people want their slice of Montana, and I can't begrudge anybody for that. You know, we come here because of different reasons, but we all share in this greater state that we have. And I think when people come into the state, the opportunity for them to kind of learn what our culture is can be difficult. And whether that's from a sportsman perspective or a landowner. And so when we're able to kind of bring everybody together and give them this open, safe environment to really discuss a lot of these details, we're able to bring people to a more common ground central idea about what we're about here. And I think that's really helpful, considering we have so many different diverse backgrounds from people that are coming here. And I think doing that really speaks to who we are as Montanans, just being able to come to a consensus, even though we have different ideas and different opinions on things.
Yeah, you could probably see that in the people who sign up for your master class.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, let's just leave that for right now. We'll take a headline break and come on back. And I want to talk more with Everett Headley, who is the program manager and lead instructor for Montana Master Hunter, the Master Hunter program through onemontana.org. All right, as I mentioned, Bob Gibson, FWP, standing by. We'll get an update on the hunting season, chronic wasting disease, and a few other things. Like I said, drones and walleyes. I thought that was interesting as I saw a release from the FWP here. Everett Headley continues with us here. He's the program manager for Master Hunter Program with onemontana.org. Sarah Tilt also still here, executive director of that program. Everett, I wanted to have you kind of comment on the kind of people that are taking part in this program. As Sarah had said, you've got like 175 ambassadors. Get into the program a little bit more. But also, are you seeing this transitioning, this diversity of Montanans as we talk about the growth coming in, the changing sportsman, the changing landowner? I suppose that's reflected in your class.
Well, yeah, Tom, there's a lot there to unpack. We've got graduates who, Gary, on the upper end, 84 this year, and still has this attitude of being a lifelong learner, knowing that even though he's been really successful for, you know, longer than I've been alive, he still has something to learn, and he's got a lot to offer to others who are wanting to sharpen their skills as well. We've got about a 25% women in the program, which is extremely high compared to the rest of the hunting demographic. And so we have an average age, I think somewhere around late 40s for graduates in the program. And the spectrum is just varied in as far as their interests and skill levels. And so when we talk to people about who should come to the Master Hunter program, we really want to emphasize that it's people who are looking to expand their understanding of what hunting is and looking to make some of those connections within Montana, whether it's to other sportsmen or to landowners, and be willing to be part of a bigger picture here in Montana, which is furthering our hunting heritage.
I see this flyer here, and they're, I suppose these are masterclass participants. They're actually out hucking a log around on a farmer's land. I mean, that's good. That kind of tells the story a little bit.
It really does. You know, this past summer we spent a few days building beaver farms to kind of mimic what has been lost with the loss of beavers on this particular ranch. And so for a couple of days, that's what we did. There was no expectation that we were going to come back and hunt or even anything more than just shake hands at the end of the day. It was just us partnering with landowners to help them better steward that land. We've had other work projects from the High Line all the way down to almost to the southern end of southwest Montana. So we're across the state working with landowners, trying to help them give a hand where it might be needed. And again, it's really just helping be better neighbors on both sides of the table there.
You know, as I mentioned, Bob Gibson, he's on the line now, so I'm going to introduce him. He's with the FWP, Communication Education Professional there, a friend of the program, been on for a while. Robert, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. You're on with Everett Headley and Sarah Tilt. I wanted to have you comment, Bob, as I think you and Everett are familiar with each other, the importance of improving those relationships, because I think for a long time we might have taken them for granted, landowner and sportsman, sportswomen. Is it improving? Has this helped?
Well, certainly anything is going to help, and Everett's program there is a big jump in the right direction. We know that a fairly high percentage of our game animals and the places that we go hunting are on private land, particularly as you get into this end of the state. And there's you know, if you're having if you've got a spot that is really good for growing crops and growing cattle, then it's obviously going to be a really good place for wildlife as well. And so those relationships between the folks that own the land And the people that like to hunt hunt the wildlife, hunt the public wildlife, is incredibly important. And the Master Hunter program is a step in the right direction there for many people.
The general rifle hunting season winding down this Sunday. We continue to get an update on that. We'll continue on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
It's not done until a half hour after sunset Sunday, but that general hunting rifle season is winding down. We're getting an update on the hunting harvest this half of the program. Welcome back. I'm Tom Schultz. Bob Gibson is with us, Montana's Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and also still in the program, Sarah Tilt and Everett Headley with One Montana. Robert, I want to get to you. I want to get to some of the news coming out of FWP here, but I kind of wanted to have you and Everett just share your experiences. I know One Montana, this Master Hunter program, you have a deadline for applications. Let's get that covered first, and then I want you to tell me what the hunters are telling you about this 2020 hunting season.
Yeah, so our application is open until December 1. We'll close December 1, so you've got just about a week or so to get those in. You can go to mtmasterhunter.com, and at the very top of our webpage is the application. And I would encourage people when they do apply to be thorough on that, because it's really kind of become competitive to be accepted. So,
what are they getting into?
Your best on that. On the application itself?
Well, just in the program. Is it 2 months, 3 months?
Oh, great question. Yeah, generally the classes are going to be 3 2-day weekends in this coming spring, and then we'll have a field weekend for qualifications in June.
Cool. All right, onemontana.org. And actually, you have your own website, don't you, for the master class?
Yeah, we do. MTMasterHunter.com.
There it is. Yep, MTMasterHunter.com. All right. Bob, I know you're still with us. Thank you. Everett, what are hunters telling you about the harvest this year?
Yeah, it's been kind of hard to find elk. They stayed up high later into the season this year, and so I've had a lot of people asking if I've seen anything. The people that have been most successful were generally in late archery season. So I'm kind of hopeful that with a little bit more snow and people getting out there this weekend, they'll have more opportunity to find success.
Bob, is that what you're hearing?
Well, yes and no. What we're finding is that there are a lot of people out hunting this year. And part of that, I think, is that you get cooped up for an entire summer with the whole COVID mess. And when it comes time to get outside and go do something, people are doing that. It started with the fishing season when, we had an incredibly good fishing season, summer fishing season, because people just wanted to get out. And our fishing access sites and even the state parks had record numbers of folks visiting them. And we're seeing that continue somewhat into the hunting season with a lot of folks in the field. And that is resulting in more animals being harvested, because there's just more people out there and more pressure on the elk and deer and antelope and stuff. And because of the COVID mess this year, in this part of the world, in South Central Montana, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is not running its biological check stations where you normally would stop at Columbus or Lovina or some of those spots and check your deer as you come in and out, and your elk and your moose and whatever else. Those aren't being run this year. So the empirical data on how many animals are being harvested just isn't there. But from the number of antlers that I've seen go by on Main Street in Billings and while I was in the field hunting, folks are doing just fine. Whether that's better or worse than last year, it's a little hard to say at this point. Is because we don't have those biological check stations running this year.
Everett, did you adjust your hunting season practices as a hunter because of COVID-19 very much?
No, I really didn't. I will say, though, with what Bob's saying, there are certainly a lot more people out there in the woods this year, whether they're at trailheads or just getting back further in the woods. I think more people are hunting this year, for sure.
Boy, and that underscores the importance of good landowner and sportsman relationships. And I appreciate, you know, One Montana working toward that end. Bob, I saw on the FWP website this 2020 big game hunting forecast. I'm not sure if a lot of people are going to that. Maybe a lot of hunters do know that. It comes with an interactive map as well. But there's some pretty good detailed information for all of Montana. And as I read that, we had pretty good game available this year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, actually. And that's the thing that you're talking about on the FWP website is what we call Hunt Planner. And it's got a big map and a whole bunch of resources. And depending on how much time you want to spend drilling down into the data, there's a lot of information, everything from how many animals the biologists are seeing on the ground to where you can hunt. And then some of the stuff like block management areas, where people can hunt, where you can go to hunt if there isn't a lot of public ground. And how you go about doing that and where they are and all of the GIS information if you're into your GPS a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that Hunt Planner has got a ton of information that would help people go out and hunt and successfully harvest an animal.
I bet even Everett, although he grew up hunting and fishing in Montana near Frenchtown, as I mentioned, now lives in the Bitterroot Valley. Are you using electronics, Everett, on the hunt?
I definitely am. I've got my GPS on my phone now, and it's invaluable for me to stay on the right side of the line. But it's also fun to be able to see animals on somebody else's place and find out who that might be able to who that is, and then be able to develop a relationship with them that I might be able to chase animals over there as well. So definitely in my pocket when I'm out there.
Bob, I want to get to the chronic wasting disease issue here. And then there's a couple of things I saw on your website. One of them was a discussion before your commission regarding drones and fishing. I think that'd be sort of interesting to kind of get into, because you're probably going to see increased pressure in that regard. Let's just tackle that right now, and then we'll do chronic wasting disease after the break. But you're probably seeing increased pressure for these technologies to be employed in the outdoors, and I know there's ethical questions that that rise with that. There's just usage kind of conflicts that can come up. But the FWP is looking at that for fishing regulations. When do you start looking at it for hunting regulations, and how long a process will this take before we kind of get it straightened out?
Well, how long is it going to take to get it straightened out? It's a good question, because it seems like that technology is moving around, moving along at the breakneck speed, and how do you anticipate what is going to be the next handheld drone or the next piece of technology that's going to come around next year or 10 years from now? So each of those regulations is kind of designed to accommodate some of the upcoming technology as well, and the drones is a really good example. Is for a number of years we've had regulations about hunting with a drone, so you can't put your drone up and check over the ridge to see if there's any elk there, or fly around, or use your drone to herd or chase elk or deer or antelope. All of those kinds of things already are banned in hunting, and it just never seemed like a big deal with fishing until it was. And then suddenly we start seeing people that are fishing in the lake, and you can only cast, I don't know what, you know, if you're really, really good, maybe 100 feet. But you can take that drone and take your bait out a quarter of a mile.
People are doing that, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what really is leading to this, is that now you're starting to have not only safety but ethical dilemmas about using technology to pursue game and fish, and that's the kind of stuff that's coming up, and it will continue to, and we'll continue to address that as it comes up. The process at this point is that I believe that there's a proposal to make that a commission rule that regulates drones and electronic things, probably even radio-controlled boats for fishing. You know, we don't want people literally trolling with their drone or their radio-controlled boat, trolling around the lake. And I saw an advertisement the other day, and I don't remember what it was for. It was one of the sporting goods stores that has this little remote-controlled boat that's capable of hauling in a two-pound fish. So don't even have to have a rod and reel. You take your, take your radio controlled boat. Well, that's just not where we want to be in Montana, as far as the ethics, safety, and fairness of the fishing.
It sounds a little bit like fun though, Bob. Getting your boat out there and then, you know, putting the hammer down to set the hook, and then reel that thing in electronically, ethics does matter, and culture does matter, so I can appreciate that. That's a discussion that's going on right now. The Fish and Wildlife Commission has a public hearing via Zoom on December 1st. Go to the FWP website for more information on that. I got to take a break. Sarah, I know that you've got executive director business to do, and thank you for hanging on. Everett, I'm going to ask you to hang on here as well. I want to talk about chronic wasting disease when we come back, but Sarah, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Just wanted to say thank you very much for having us, and we're delighted to be a part of your program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. OneMontana.org for more information. All right, back here with Bob Gibson from the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. He's the Communication and Education Program Manager for Region 5, and Everett Headley is with us as well, One Montana Masterclass Lead Instructor. Bob, and then Everett, follow up. If you have seen this, add to Robert's conversation, but how are we doing with chronic wasting disease? Have we seen a lot of sampling done this year, Bob?
Yeah, so far, I just got an update this morning from the lab in Bozeman, and it looks like so far, as of yesterday, they had collected 5,759 samples throughout the state, and almost 4,200 of those already have been processed through the lab. The rest of them are within the last 5 days or so, and they're still coming through the lab, and it takes a little while to get them there. And so far, in Montana, all over the whole state, we found 108 positive or suspect positive animals. Most of them are whitetail and mule deer. Don't believe there's an elk yet this year. May have been one. That's the latest numbers as of now. And of course we've got, 5 more days of, hunting left. Then after that, it'll be a few days before all the samples are in, and then it takes about, we're saying wait 6 days for your sample to be processed. Sometimes it's getting turned around a little quicker than that. Sometimes it's 6 days.
The chronic wasting disease is 100% fatal. It infects members of the deer family like elk, moose, mule, and white-tailed deer. First detected, I think, in 2017. There were some areas, as I had mentioned, that were specific, that concerned areas along the High Line, northeastern Montana, around Libby, the southern border of Montana. When you did these tests, Bob, did they reveal, and I know you get stragglers here and there, did they reveal any new areas of concern specifically?
Yeah, the kind of the hot spot this year is the Ruby Mountains just east of Dillon. That hunting district there is, they're finding, I think, like out of the 108 positives that we've had so far, something like 23 of them came out of that hunting district. So there's a hot spot there that, is going to take some attention. Libby still's got a few of them right around Libby, and then there's, some hunting districts up along in the High Line, not too far from Glasgow that have quite a few. Some of the spots like eastern Carbon County, where it was originally found, I think there's only been two deer that have found so far this year in that area. But that's as a result of what we had 3 years, 17, 18, and 19, 3 years worth of management that's going on there. So You know, we're hoping that there's some results as a result of that, as a result of the work that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has done there. And you're going to see some attention paid to the places that are kind of the hot spots right now.
Yeah, and it's something that we'll continue to talk about. Everett, I wanted to have you add chronic wasting disease. Do you have stories? What are hunters telling you? What do you tell them?
Well, yeah, we do a deep dive into chronic wasting disease with the state veterinarian, Dr. Jen Ramsey. And, you know, as from a hunter perspective, we're concerned about, you know, of course, long-term herd numbers and transmission between when you consume the meat. But we're also concerned with what that might do for conservation funding if people stop hunting because of CWD. So definitely something that we are all keeping our eye on. And I think education to sportsmen is a big component of maintaining some kind of control over CWD.
Everett Headley with One Montana and the Master Program and Bob Gibson. Montana State Parks saw record visitation in 2020. I'm sure you were busy, Bob. Thank you for being here. If you've got anything, I don't have time for final thoughts. The music's playing. Just happy Thanksgiving, all. We'll have you back on, though, Bob, okay? Give me a ring.
I'd be glad to join you anytime.
Okay, Everett, take care. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.